Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant, of course, the estate, tax, and planning attorney. Had a few of these shows under our belt now, Paul. We get to hear what you sound like live in person at one of your seminars here in a moment.
That's right. So we're going to be sharing what I spoke about at our Kingdom Builders session, which was a couple weeks ago now. But we've been talking about how to protect family. And protecting family first starts with needing a family vision. So without a vision, Proverbs 29 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And of course, that word vision means some sort of prophecy, some sort of outward focused look. And really what I want listeners to hear in sharing this Kingdom Builder session is, what does it mean to have a family vision? So I was talking to business owners there at this session, and you're going to hear a lot of talk about business, 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 but I want listeners to insert the word business for family. So if we can get our focus back on what does it mean to have a family long-term vision for the kingdom of God, now all of a sudden, me sharing this session will make a lot more sense, and we'll come back and we'll tie it into a little bit of estate planning at the end, if that's okay.
Okay, well, take it away. From a recent Kingdom Builder session, here's Paul Grant.
We're going to talk about money today. Is that okay? Is anyone offended with money? Look, it's just a tool. That's all it is. That's right. But God wants us to be radically successful in our businesses because he doesn't have a single dollar to his name. The only way that he can fund the gospel is through us. Do you realize that as small business owners, we are the answer to fund the kingdom of God? It's all God has. He cannot just have money float down from heaven. There's not a tree that is planted in the backyard that I get to go take money off of and hand it to my pastor. It takes me working in my business, having a business vision and a kingdom vision blended together so that we can funnel our success. Money's not bad. It's the love of money. Is that what I'm chasing after? Am I chasing after money? Or am I chasing after the heart of God and the vision that he's given me? Because then I'll be willing just to let money flow through me. And that's where I believe God wants us. So Hebrews 11:33 says that by faith they conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, and to receive the promise. In order to understand the promise, we need to have a vision and a direction and purpose. When we have that purpose, when we have that vision, then faith can begin to work to fulfill it. The first step of a vision is seeing what God has for you. As a business owner, we need to understand that God wants to participate in our businesses. Matthew 17:24, it's on this side of the page. This is where Jesus was entering into Capernaum. Where Jesus is entering in, and understand, this is an entourage of people coming into this town. It wasn't just Jesus and Peter and 12. This is an entourage of people coming in. You could see them coming from a long ways away. So they knew that they were coming. Now, at the temple, it was customary that travelers would then give an offering. Now, it's interpreted as the word tax, but that's actually not really a proper interpretation, in my opinion. It's really an offering. So, and Jesus goes through. So Peter gets approached by the person who takes the offering for the specific synagogue in that area. And then Peter comes to Jesus, and Jesus, it says, Jesus, anticipating what he was going to say, says, "So, Peter, what do you think? Do the kings take tribute or custom from their own children or from strangers?" And Peter said, "Well, from strangers." And Jesus said, "Then the children are free." So here's what's happening. They took it from travelers, not from their own people. Why? Because their own people were already under the law to pay a tithe. So they naturally brought in the tithe. But the travelers would use the synagogue, so then they charged, in essence, an offering or a tax or a tribute is what it says. And Jesus is saying, but for those who belong to the house, they're free. They're free from having to pay the tax. And then Jesus does something astounding, which I think small business owners need to see. Okay? We need to see this. He then says, but just so that they're not going to be offended, even though we're free from this, so they're not offended, Peter, I want you to go and take a hook, and I want you to cast it into the lake, and I want you to take the first fish, and there's going to be a coin in its mouth, and I want you to pay for yourself and for me. He took Peter's skill. Remember, he's a professional fisherman, correct? This was what he did all the time, except notice the difference. Let's flash back to Peter when he first met Jesus. Boat on the water, Lord, we've fished all night, but at your word, I'll go and I'll cast into the deep, right? So a professional fisherman getting a word of knowledge for where the fish are. By the way, God wants to move with words of wisdom and knowledge in your life to tell you exactly where to go fish as a small business owner. Don't have time for all that. But, so go cast into the deep. Take your nets. But here, he takes his skill and yet he twists it just a bit and says, I want you to take one single line. I don't want you to take a net. This was probably an uncomfortable position. Peter probably hadn't fished like this since he was a boy sitting on a dock with his dad, right? Because he fished in large boats as a commercial fisherman. The Lord asked him and took his skill set and twisted it just a bit and said, go and find the first one. See, God wants to use your skill set as a small business owner, give you divine wisdom of where to go and what to see and what to do, so that when you pull it up out of the water, that there is sufficient provision for both the house of God and for yourself. He didn't leave himself out. He said, go get it for me and for you. Get it for both of us because I'm in this with you. As small business owners, God wants to be in your business. He wants to be all up in your business. Okay? We need to have a dual vision. And that dual vision is that we can be the conduit of a kingdom blessing while at the same time God providing for us. So now, in the business vision, if we were sitting down and we were meeting and you say, okay, Paul, help me build my business. Okay, so as an attorney, we would talk about structure, we'd talk about asset protection, and maybe you would say, well, I'm not exactly sure what my real first step in a practical sense. So forget all the legal nonsense that you're telling me. Tell me the first practical stuff, okay? So we'd sit down, and we'd say, okay, great. Well, every small business should start with a vision statement, right? Does anyone have a vision statement in the room? Vision statements? Okay, so what is a vision statement? It's the long-term goal that we have for our business. Correct? So in other words, in a vision statement, they say, make a vision for anywhere between 5 and 15 years. Start outlining the bullseye. Start outlining where you're going to march. So in a vision statement, it keeps us moving in the right direction. I'm sure you've heard the idea that if somebody is steering a ship and the rudder is just a millimeter off, you end up in a completely different country, right? So we need to have a vision so that we know where to point the ship. As small business owners, it's important that you write down your vision. If you don't have a vision of where you're going, you'll end up nowhere. Take the time and energy to write it down. Take the time and energy to see the bullseye that you're supposed to be moving towards in your business. And then there's a thing called a mission statement. So a mission statement. Mission statement is, what am I going to do in the next 12 to 24 months that gets me moving in the right direction so that it is a part of the vision? So the vision is the broad scope of where am I heading. I flew a helicopter a couple weeks ago. Anyone, do we have any pilots? Of course we do. Never flown anything in my life. So a buddy of mine has been telling me how much that I would love being a pilot and just the idea of learning and studying and the intricacies of it. So as a pilot, where am I supposed to look? On the horizon. I'm supposed to look out there. But where do you think the natural, specifically a novice, where in the world do you want to look? Wow, look at I-5. This is cool. Vroom. Right? So the vision statement is the horizon of where we're supposed to be moving. The mission statement, then, is how we are going to get there. But now we have either a value statement or what I would prefer to call, and I actually don't know too many people that do this, I would rather call it a culture statement. So we have a vision that takes us where we're going. We have a mission of how the immediate steps to get us there. But then we have a culture statement that says, these are the type of people who are going to help me take my steps. If we don't have the right people around us, then the steps we take are going to be really tough. So we need to have a culture statement. What does it mean? And so the culture statement is who we are. Who am I that's going to drive me in my next step? The mission statement is, how do I do it? Are the steps that I'm going to take. And then the vision statement is the what or the why. How far out and why am I doing it and the purpose for? So many of us have a business vision, even a mission statement. You can look up on my website. I got them both. And a culture statement internally of how we are going and who we are going to build. Now let me ask you this question, small business owners. How many of us have a vision statement, a mission statement, and a culture statement for our kingdom purpose? See, it takes both visions to accomplish the work of the kingdom. I can have all of my business stuff of a law firm taken care of. And yet, when God radically blesses me, which he has, if I don't have the same vision, mission, and culture statement for God's purposes, then I don't know where to be radically generous to. And if you don't know yet, start with your church. That's a good plug for a church since I'm in one. Start with your church. Link in with your pastors. Let them help you develop your kingdom purpose as well as your business purpose. So I think many small business owners stop at the business vision and we neglect the personal kingdom vision. I am not called to be an attorney. I'm called to build the kingdom of God. My skill set is as an attorney. And I worked hard for that piece of paper, let me tell you. But that is my skill set. And my skill set can be used on both functions. But my skill set will lead me into my vision and into my kingdom purpose. So I'm not called to be an attorney. It is my skill set. I will be fulfilled in many things as an attorney. God will use me as an attorney, specifically as an estate planner, helping families transition after losing loved ones. I have an extraordinary time of being able to pray with people who are on their deathbed. So yes, I use that avenue to build God's kingdom, but those are drops in the bucket compared to me having a vision of what God wants to do with my life for the kingdom purpose. And so we need to have a dual purpose in our life. We need to have both visions functioning simultaneously. Now, when we have a vision and we see the horizon, the mission then is to start walking. And again, Hebrews 11:33, where we are to conquer lands, we're to administrate justice, and we receive the promise. I think many of us don't understand how to really see a promise of God and understand the journey of what the promise is supposed to lead us to. So let's talk a little bit about promises of God. They are really the glue that allows us the strength and capability to take the next step in our life. Without a promise, then it's very difficult to believe that the vision can come to pass. The vision is backed up by the promise. So, everything that we receive of God is because there is a promise that we can link His faithfulness to. Everything that we receive of God is because there is a promise that we can link His faithfulness to. I was reading through, and I had one commentator said that there is 5,467 promises in the Bible. That's a rather specific number. Most things that I hear, that there's approximately 7,000 different promises made for you and I in God's Word. And we could probably sit here and start quoting a few of them, okay? So the author went on and said, those promises reveal the eternal purpose of God, that He is unchangeably committed to, and that believers can absolutely depend and rely upon. As believers, we can take God for face value. We can absolutely depend and believe that His Word is truth. God can't and won't change His mind.
And you're listening to a recent Kingdom Builders seminar with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. We'll return with more of this discussion on the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to encourage you to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We provide educational seminars designed to give you a starting point for your estate planning needs. We discuss things like what documents are needed in every estate plan, how do I protect the next generation, what are estate tax issues, and how do I plan for minor or special needs children. Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and discover a host of information. Sign up for an educational class or ask a question. That's at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And now we return to a recent Kingdom Builder seminar from estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant, and it's a lively discussion.
I might pay you a double portion of something if I really feel like it, or if Sunday comes before next week is anointing, if you dance.
Now, this is a fantastic, I mean, how awesome is this?
Amazing.
I promised that I might pay you something if I really feel like it. This is great. Look, it's even signed by me. It is it not?
Absolutely.
Is that my signature? You would never know it, but that's my signature. This is great. Now, this is called, in terms of law, an illusory promise. An illusory promise is an unenforceable promise, an unenforceable one, because it is unclear or undefined exactly what the terms are. And typically, only one party needs to perform. Okay? So if you dance, I might do something for you. Very nice. All right. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Most Christians believe that God's promises are illusory. Most Christians believe that God can change His mind. Most Christians believe that if they act in a certain way, if they're the actor, that maybe God will actually do something for them. We treat God's promises as if they can be taken or they can be given, and somehow he is the ultimate judge deciding, bam, that person has cancer. Bam, that person is healed. Bam, that person dies. Bam, that person's mortgage is paid off. Bam! That is not our God. Every single time, God's promises are true. Every time. Hebrews 6, 13, 15. When God made a promise to Abraham, it's because he could not swear by anyone greater than himself. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. I think we missed that part of the scripture too often. We stopped at yes and amen, and we forget that it's by us. I don't see a no in there. All the promises of God in him are yes. Or maybe if he feels like it. Or maybe if I perform. Or nah. It's not there. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. What he has spoken, and shall he not make good? I've received a commandment to bless, and I have been blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot reverse it. Know therefore, Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that your God, he is a God, and he is faithful who keeps his covenant. Jeremiah 1:12, the Lord said to me, you have seen it right. I will hasten or look over my word to perform it. It is not possible for God to change his mind. He is not up there thinking, I've got a bigger plan. I've got to make my overall plan fulfilled. So therefore, I can't fulfill the promise today that I promised. I can't fulfill it. He must perform his word. I want you to understand something. When we understand the promises of God, when we look into his face and realize that he is absolutely, undeniably faithful every single time, then we can hold up and believe him to come through for the vision that he has given us. And simultaneously, as it becomes manifested and we have a purpose and a vision for the kingdom of God, that we can freely give this away because we know that his promise is right behind us and he will fulfill it again. Over and over. You want to be radically generous? Have a kingdom vision that you can reach out and say, this is my heavenly Father's, because I trust him in totality that he is going to bring this to pass again. This is walking in a double blessing, that we can give simultaneously as we receive. And this is what God wants to do with small business owners. This is where he wants us. Thanks, my friend. But we have to gaze to him. We have to be solely convinced that he is going to back up his word. And too often, even my own heart begins to get swayed back to believing God is going to somehow be an illusory promise today. I begin to look at my circumstances. I begin to look at what hasn't happened instead of what has happened. And my heart begins to sway. And what I need to do is pull my heart back to the truth of who he is. To regaze upon his faithfulness and his absoluteness so that I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can continue to release and build his kingdom vision while he assists me in building my business vision. And thereby I can be the conduit that he wants me to be. This is the double vision that we need in our lives. We need to know what we're doing in our business, and we need to know what we are doing for the kingdom. We can't just take it as we go along. My encouragement to you is know what your kingdom purpose is. Spend time in prayer. Hear and feel the heartbeat of the living God. And let him shape your kingdom vision.
And a little bit of what it sounds like at a Kingdom Builders session with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. That sounds like you had a lot of fun there at that Kingdom Builders session.
Yeah, we really did. A lot of people were touched. Good discussions about building faith, building vision, and how to use them together. I'd really wanted listeners, like I said, to capture that idea that building a family vision is possible. And when we build a family vision, then we know exactly where we can go. And estate planning takes vision.
Yeah.
If you don't have a vision of what you want with your family, it's really hard for me to do estate planning with you as well. So these really combine. And as we understand what our vision is in life, and we communicate it to our family, then we know where to be generous. And as a matter of fact, that's what we're going to be talking about in next week's session, is how to be generous in estate planning.
Having purpose in all that you do, and particularly, of course, with your financial issues. If people maybe heard this also, they'd like to maybe have you bring a Kingdom Builder session to their church. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
You can get at me with my website, legacyandfaith.com. We have email options, seminars, a bunch of information. So go to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.